Okay, and our Bible reading today is from Psalm 51, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, or it's in your welcome booklet for convenience. All right, Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you were right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even from the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you.
So Tom brought us to this McCrindle research that basically says that celebrity Christians are a turnoff for people who might explore the faith. A Christian who is a celebrity is a turnoff. So what are we to do with that kind of research? Does that mean we should discourage anyone from going down the celebrity track, or if they're starting to become famous, that we cut them down in order to protect the gospel? What do we just ignore them if there are celebrity Christians? If that's a turnoff, do we just ignore them, or should we maybe encourage them and maybe even encourage them to be a different type of celebrity Christian? Well, over the next 20 minutes, let's try and think about that. I'm going to show you what's on the tombstone of King David in the Bible. We'll also get you to review your latest Facebook post, and we'll end with thinking about how to be famous. So that'll all hang together, but that's where we're going over the next 20 minutes. I want to take you to King David in the Bible. Now, he is someone who really shows the tension that lies in fame. If you are famous, there can be a great tension that goes on. And you see that King David, he would have to be, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the most famous figure. And we see that he is famous, but he is also infamous. In the end, he is infamous. Now, infamous means being famous for the wrong things. And we got a taste of some of his story, his family story, last week. And we see that he made some big mistakes. But even before that, there's a whole story about King David, which I'm pretty sure if you've had any upbringing in the Bible, then you would know that he is this king. He's got lots of power. He's got lots of money. He is known throughout the land as being great for his people. He wins some victories. He secures the borders of Israel against the enemies. But then, at the height of all that, he uses his power and his money and his position in order to hide an adultery. And it's hideous. He actually sees this woman, and he's not at battle while the rest of his army is out fighting, and usually he would be with them. He stays home, looks at this woman through the window, and then summons her. It's quite explicit in the story. She is summoned. She is forced to come up to him as the king. And they sleep together. And then she gets pregnant. And he, this king with power and glory and wealth, suddenly goes, ooh, I've got to protect my reputation here. I've got to cover this up. And so he first tries to get her husband, who's out actually fighting. So while King David's here having adultery, the husband of the woman, is out fighting where King David should be. He tries to summon the husband back in order to get them to sleep together and hopefully hide the baby. But that doesn't happen because the husband actually is a man of integrity. He says, no way, I'm not going to come off the front line. We've got a battle to do. I'm not going to come home and sleep with my wife and enjoy things. I'm in the midst of battle here. So he stays there. Ooh, that's a problem for David. You read the story, and David goes on with another plan and says to his chief commander, put this man, whose name is Uriah, on the front line so that he gets struck down. Awful story, Uriah dies. This is the most famous Christian in the Old Testament, David, and just one of the many infamous things he does. And God doesn't hide it. God exposes it on the pages of Scripture. Let me just take you to the final chapters of Samuel, 2 Samuel. That's where, if you've got your Bible, go to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Now, this is at the end of all of the story of David, and there's a summary about his life. And whoever wrote this summary wants to make it absolutely clear that whatever greatness David has, he is an infamous man, famous for the wrong things. So in chapter 22, you actually hear this wonderful song of David praising God and praising the success that he's had. And if you were to end there, you would think that all is well. But then you go on to chapter 23, and one of the most exciting parts of the Bible, there's just a list of names. Do you find those parts of the Bible really exciting? They're not that exciting, but they're very important, because what we notice here is that in chapter 23 from verse 8, there's a whole list of David's mighty warriors, the people that were on the front line and were with David winning this battle. And then it should strike you, if you know the story that I've just recounted, you get to, say, the final names. There's Zelek, there's Zeruiah, there's Ira, there's Gareb. And then the final name mentioned in the list is Uriah the Hittite. The person who summarizes David's life wants to make it clear that this guy has failed. Let's not forget what he did to Uriah, the husband of this woman that he summoned to his presence. And then Samuel 24 shows that David continues to disobey God. So this is a man who is very, very famous, but in the midst of his fame, he actually is exposed to use that fame, power, glory for himself. So what can we put on David's tombstone? Well, this is what the Bible is saying. Epic fail. See, the problem with any human that ends up being famous is that they are a human with these deep tendencies to bring glory to themselves in order to make a name for themselves or protect the name that they have made for themselves. Now, my mother-in-law always reads David and says to me, I just don't understand how the Bible can go on and say that David is a man after God's own heart when you've got this horrendous story, horrendous stories about David. But look at that. The Bible wants to show us the tombstone of David, which says that even though he is famous, he is flawed. He has made some massive fails. That's the tension with fame. And the Bible will go on and say that anyone who is in public life before people has to wrestle with their heart that wants to scoop the glory that should only be God's and bring it to themselves. So Jesus' words in chapter 6 are, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. He just presses the finger on what we do as humans. We do stuff in front of others to be seen by them, to create this perception of how they will view us. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you do give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, those people who do that, have received their reward in full. So the Bible, God, makes clear that there's only one person that deserves glory. And if you find yourself in a public space, if you find yourself a celebrity or famous, then give glory to God alone. The problem is not being famous. The problem is whether you scoop glory to yourself in that fame or you direct it to God. For God states clearly, he won't let himself be defamed. He will not yield his glory to another. And you saw Jesus' words. He said, if you're not giving glory to God, then the sum total of the glory that you get will be on this earth. It'll be a limited reward. And you go on and you hear Jesus' teaching, because at the end, God does call to account everyone who lived a life seeking glory for themselves. Philippians 3 says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So those who seek glory to themselves, who actually just use their power, their wealth to feed themselves at the expense of giving glory to God, that is the destiny. So we see that there's a tension with being famous. You can seek glory for yourself. And if you are a human, inevitably, even like David, because the story goes on, David actually is a person who turns around and gives glory to God. But the reality is, being public means your human failures, your human flaws will be on show. That's the tension, being a Christian and famous. You will inevitably be exposed publicly for your mistakes. What we find distasteful, I think, about celebrities is when they do a lot of speaking about how they honour God, but then in the end, it is clear as day, that they just sought power and money for themselves. That's what we find distasteful, and that's what everyone finds distasteful. It is a big turnoff. Okay, now I want you to take your phone out for me. We're going to review your latest Facebook post. Okay, so if you're on Facebook on your phone or on Twitter, I want you to take that out for me now. If you're not on Facebook or Twitter, then just sit with this and see where it goes in your mind and heart. Okay, so pull up your last Facebook post. Who got some likes on that Facebook post? Anyone want to put their hand up if they got dislikes? Yeah. Who's got 50 followers? Who's got more than 100 followers? Do I have 150? Who's got 200 followers? I won't name, but we have over 200 followers in the front row and over to the left. Okay, so guess what? You are famous. Yeah. And I'm not just being cute. What is fame but being public? You see Jesus' followers, Jesus himself, Jesus' followers, the disciples, the amount of times it is mentioned that they were amongst a crowd and people were watching them. You see, fame is nothing more than being public. And I know that there's probably a spectrum there from being public to maybe being famous, because that publicity is multiplied over quite a number of eyeballs watching you, through to the other end of the spectrum, which would be maybe celebrity, where you've got media that just broadcasts you you know, to so many eyeballs and ears. Okay, so I understand that there's that spectrum, but you are famous. So all of us have this same wrestle with our hearts of, do we give glory to God or do we bring glory to ourselves? You can't avoid being famous. So I want you to just take 30 seconds now, review your Facebook post and think of Matthew chapter 6. And just let it work in and test yourself and see, you know, what were you doing? What can you be honest about you were doing with that post? So just 30 seconds to have a think. And if you're not on Facebook, then maybe think of the last time you were public in any nature. So, if not this post, there's probably a post, recent post, whereby it has to be said, we probably put that up for the glory of ourselves rather than God. Now, you don't have to be mentioning the word God in it. You know, you test your own heart. You know, what are we seeking in that? You know, it exposes us. That I'm not saying Facebook is wrong or Twitter or any of this. All that social media has done is actually given us a really good test of where our heart is at, because we respond so quickly to likes and dislikes and how many followers. It really shows that we are people who hunger for glory. So it is actually a powerful tool to actually diagnose our hearts. The thing for us is we've got to go, okay, we are public, we are somewhat famous. Now, you might be famous in your family only, but you're famous. Some people will be famous in school. Some people will actually go on to be celebrities, even in our midst. This is a wonderful text to digest. And you might even want to challenge yourself for the next week, somehow keeping it next to the way you post. And before you press send, do a little review. Because at the end of the day, you will be exposed if you seek your own glory. Your flaws will end up being public. And people find that disgusting and distasteful. Let me show you a clip, and then I want to ask you what's wrong with it.
And the Oscar goes to... Yeah. Seal that up. Matthew McConaughey.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to the Academy for this. All 6,000 members, thank you to the other nominees. All these performances were impeccable, in my opinion. I didn't see a false note anywhere. I want to thank Jean-Marc Vallée, our director. I want to thank Jared Leto, Jennifer Garner, who I worked with daily. There's a few things, about three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. Now, first off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. He has graced my life with opportunities that I know are not of my hand or any other human hand. He has shown me that it's a scientific fact that gratitude reciprocates. In the words of the late Charlie Lawton, who said, when you got God, you got a friend, and that friend is you. To my family.
All righty. So that's Matthew McConaughey back in 2014 picking up an Oscar. Just have a think. What's wrong with that clip? Oh, I don't want anyone to say anything because you might embarrass yourself because I've set you up. there's nothing wrong with it. See, this is the problem. We just despise celebrities that actually might actually mention their faith. And I think it's more so in Australia. We have to be careful that we don't end up in this equation whereby we go celebrity equals insincerity. Matthew McConaughey. From what I understand, he goes to church regularly. He has brought other people to faith in his industry. We're very quick to despise and pull down people because they are celebrities. You can't help but be famous. You can't help but be famous. Some of us might end up being a famous movie star. And what's wrong with that? The key is, where do you actually give glory? And, you know, again, we watch a clip like that and we go, he's just, you know, saying lines. How do you know? You know, celebrity does not equal insincerity. 1 Corinthians 3 is a time, Paul's a guy in the Bible who's comes into this town in Corinth and they're into celebrity. In fact, they're into celebrity preachers. So people who are famous and they start aligning themselves with different celebrity preachers. And at the end, he tells everyone, look, no more boasting about human leaders, because there is a problem if you just keep banging on about how great a human leader is, even if you do think that they're a good preacher. Get this, he says, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is of God. What Paul is saying is, you know, even God gives celebrity for his ultimate purposes. You know, at the end of the day, even in Corinth, while people, you know, have to work out how they're responding and what they're doing with their hearts, celebrity has been a great mechanism that God has used to spread the gospel. In some of my reading, there's a man called George Whitfield who was a British preacher, and he is actually credited with the whole rise of the celebrity culture in America that you get. So he comes out from Britain, lands in the US, and was very deliberate about exploiting the new media of the day, which was not social media but newspapers. And so he went to the editors and he said, can you preach my sermons? Can you publish my sermons? How can we get this on mass distribution? And he was instrumental in Christianity, evangelical Christianity, coming to America. So let's be careful that we don't despise celebrity. There's been tons done by celebrities, famous people, which God has used for the gospel. Wilberforce, C.S. Lewis, even Apollos and Cephas, they're famous, but that's not wrong. It's where the glory is going. That's the issue. And as Paul will say, you know, expect flaws. These people were just human leaders. Expect flaws. And so are the Edwards here? The Edwards, Sonia and Paul Edwards? Wasn't sure, because, look, Brittany Edwards is now famous. Brittany Edwards is in year 12, and if you're heading south on the M1 past Wyong, you will see that Brittany Edwards now has a big head. It's massive. It's about 500% bigger than her regular head. It's a lovely head. It's a good head to blow up. So, it's better than my head. My wingnut ears would be touching either side of the edges. But she's now famous. She did nothing but just pose for a camera. I don't know if she knew that she was going to be famous, but she is a celebrity, a local celebrity in her neck of the woods. She can't help it. She's famous. And now when we drive past, you'll be looking for Brittany Edwards. So the challenge for mum and dad is to make sure her big head doesn't get any bigger. May I say one more thing just before I move on? Just pressing in to the way we we treat celebrities, even when there are faults. So many of us know that Jared Hayne at the moment is under some serious allegations, which I don't need to mention what they are, but if you know what they are, you know what they are. But Jared Hayne has provided the perfect headline for people in the media. One that I read was, Hillsonger faces XYZ charges. Oh man, that is tantalising. If you're an editor and you're looking for what they call a splash, makes people actually read the paper headline, then how can you resist that? Hillsonger. And then the first line goes on to say, recently baptised in the Jordan. This is how they start the story. Recently baptised in the River Jordan, which is a biblical river. There's a picture of it. And then they go on to talk about the story. Now, these are allegations. We do not know what the truth is, and that needs to be investigated. But the way people have been talking about him, it's sold. He is guilty. And the way people are responding on his Twitter account to him is just absolutely awful. So what's going on? People are seeking glory. And in our quest to seek glory, we will often pull other people down. The media, you know, is made up of human beings who want glory with their wonderful headlines and people reading their articles. So if they find a way, they will pull them down. So let's test our hearts for what's going on. Okay, lastly, I want to think about how to be famous, okay? Because if you are famous and it's just a matter of degree, then let's think about how we can be famous. Something in this research, which needs to be said, is the flip side. So while the research says that Christians who are public figures and celebrities are a turn off, and you can understand that, you know, if they are exposed to be really all about glory and power, that's a turn off. The top attractors to religion and spirituality in Australia was people who live out a genuine faith. And those two things are not mutually exclusive, celebrity and genuine faith. The top 10 perceptions of Christians came in with those words: caring, loving, kind, honest, faithful. So let's have a think about how to be famous. Because everyone, Christian, not a Christian, you are famous. So this is not how to become famous. You are famous to a degree, and who knows where that might go. But how do you be famous? How do you be public? Well, the first thing is, let's boast in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, as we saw. That keeps us honest. This is how you be famous. You have honest fame. Keeps us honest because when we boast in Christ, we are actually foregrounding publicly that we make mistakes, we stuff up, we don't get everything right, we're not perfect. We boast in Christ. He is the superstar, and he is the only one that will actually stand on the stage of history and get all glory and be rightful in receiving that. And let's stay honest about our flaws. David, in his psalm, which I printed up for you, he is honest about his flaws, but he's honest publicly. Okay? If you look at this, he writes this psalm publicly. He walks around town saying to people, I'm someone who needs mercy from God, and I actually go to God who gives compassion for all my sins and transgressions. I actually pray and get on my knees and ask him to make me a better person. He claims that even before he came out of the birth canal, he was sinful at birth. He owns his sin, he owns his imperfections. He goes to boast in Christ and says, can you clean me? Can you deal with my iniquity and my sins. And then the last verse is, as he's restored in that, so that he will teach others God's ways, so that others can turn back, so that all of us who have sought glory for ourselves can turn back and find forgiveness. When you find yourself public, you know, as we do the Matthew 6 and try to think about that, think about, you know, how am I portraying that I am perfect when I'm not? Am I making a little lie here? Now, you don't have to put all your dirty laundry out there, but how can you be real publicly? Be honest. This is who I am, and this is what I need. I have to boast in Christ. Have fame for God's name, and I'm going to pray using some words from an American preacher, black African preacher in the States called H.B. Charles Jr. And you know, the African preachers just have a great way of phrasing things. He says, if you're going to stand in power, you must first kneel in prayer, because he gets what power and prestige and wealth does to us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you are the only one worthy of fame. And when we review your record, despite the fact that many have torn you down, you are the only one that rightfully can receive all glory. And wonderfully, Lord, you're going to take us as fallen people, as sinful people, to share in your fame one day. At the moment, Lord, help us to be honest in our public interactions, to whatever degree that they are. Help us to never pretend that we are perfect, to, if we have done wrong things, that we will admit that and apologize. And Lord, help us to pray each day as we go about publicly, wherever we find ourselves, if we're in leadership or influence or in media or becoming a pop star. Help us ultimately to be about the fame of God's name. Help us to stand in power by first kneeling in prayer, because Lord, we recognize our hearts are arrogant. Our mouth will say dumb things and we will hurt people. Let us to be quick to repentance like David was, for your glory. Amen.